This lecture is the first of a series of four which deal with the life, the times, and the prophecies of Jeremiah the prophet. The title of these four lectures on four separate cassette tapes is Jeremiah the Prophet of Modern Times. This lecture represents the introduction to the four-part series. It is given to show the modernity of the whole prophecies of Jeremiah. This lecture is being made in the last part of April in 1999. Now let us start out by looking at the name Jeremiah itself. We find in the Bible that the names of the various people that were the authors of the books had significance, and that is the case with Jeremiah. His name means Yah, that is, the Hebrew for God. Yah is high. God is high. That is, the God of Israel is the highest of the gods. He is supreme. There is no other God of divine stature and power that can equal or compare with the God that Jeremiah served. The prophet Jeremiah was actually called as a prophet to be able to give not only his prophecies to Judah and also to Israel, but to the whole world. In an official sense, he prophesied for 40 years. It's significant that the number 40 is there. You will recall that even in the Old Testament, the number 40 is very important. Also in the New Testament. And we find that Jeremiah prophesied for 40 years in an official sense, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah to the 11th year of Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the last of the kings of Judah, the last of the Davidic dynasty that ruled in Jerusalem in what we call Palestine today. We find that this period of time was very momentous in the history of Judah and the world. On the horizon was Babylon, the great power that was to dominate the entire world in the next few years. Just before that, there was the Assyrian Empire. And in a combination of the two, we now find that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon and rising up to be one of the most powerful men in the world. We find Nebuchadnezzar even mentioned in the book of Jeremiah as being an instrument in the hand of God to be able to chastise Judah, and not only Judah, but the entirety of this world. And in this significant time period, we find that Jeremiah was raised up as a prophet, as a special prophet, to be able to prophesy to Judah and the whole of the world. And his prophecies, though they are dominated primarily with the period of the 600 years before the birth of Christ, in that period of time, they reach out to embrace even our period, even at the end of the age, and you will find that many of the prophecies given by Jeremiah did not even apply to the period in which he actually prophesied, some 600 years before the birth of Christ. But they reach down to us today into this period in which we are now living, and what is right on the horizon to us. He prophesied in the Babylonian, at the Babylonian captivity, and about the coming captivity that was to take place, how that Babylon was to reign supreme over the whole world, followed by another kingdom, and then followed by another, and then by another, and reaching on down to our time today. God selected him to be what we call an axial prophet. Even modern historians have called him that. The philosopher Karl Jaspers, in his great work on the history of philosophy, said that Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who prophesied at the same time, along with Daniel, they were prophets who were in the axial period of the history of the world. We know in the Bible that there is a 7,000-year plan of God. It seems to be indicated very plainly in 2 Peter in chapter 3, in verses 7 through 13. We will refer to that in a few minutes later. But this 7,000 years was to be a period of time in which God would be dealing with mankind, to raise up a family to him, and that we are a part of that divine family. Jeremiah was a prophet who lived just prior to the middle part of that period, as it approached the 3,500 years in a period, which was the middle of the 7,000 years. He was known as the axial prophet because he concluded an age of the past and commenced a new age, in which the Babylonian philosophies of the Gentile world would be in essence throughout the entirety of the world, no matter what nationality, what ethnic group, or what society there would be on earth. And the prophet who was selected when he was about 17 years of age to be the number one prophet of that period of time, along with Ezekiel and Daniel, was this man that we're going to concentrate on now, the prophet Jeremiah, the one who proclaimed that God, the God of Israel, was the highest of the gods, and in actual fact there was no God beside the God of Israel. So he was a type of an axial prophet. He lived in an axial age, an age in which a particular epoch came to an end, the period of the patriarchs and the kings of Judah, and another era was about to begin, when Babylon, the Gentile power to the north, would reach out to embrace an influence, political and religious, throughout the entire world. And we find that it was to dominate in the rest of the world for some 2,500 years into the future, and then reach out even for another 1,000 years, in one way of looking at it, through what is known as the great millennium in which God would have his kingdom here on earth. This prophet Jeremiah is very important. He is one, as I said, of the most significant of prophets of the Bible. And much of his prophecies, though they are couched in terms dealing with the period in which he lived, about 600 years before the birth of Christ, and much of the language is in the language that was used at that time. Yet we find in his prophecies here several places where the prophecies deal with the end of the age, just before the emergence of the kingdom of God on earth, into our period of time that is just ahead of us. And it's very important that we pay attention to these prophecies here of Jeremiah. To show how he was an axial prophet, what we should do is to read the introduction to Jeremiah itself. In the first chapter is where he was given his commission. Just like later on, the Apostle Paul was given a commission. We find that Peter was given a commission by Christ. We find back here in the Old Testament, Abraham was given a commission. Moses was given a commission. And David was given one. Also, we find that Jeremiah was given one, and it's most significant. It is of great importance that we realize what this young man of 17 years of age, when God first called him to his ministry, to his prophetic office, and how he was to prophesy for 40 long years in the period of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at the close of the kingdom of Judah, and to tell them what was going to happen, and that his prophecies, though, would reach out even into our time today. That's why I have titled this lecture here, or these series of lectures, Jeremiah, the Prophet for Modern Times, because we find that much of these prophecies here have their relevance for the time just in advance of us. Let us look at this first chapter here, which gives us the commission given to Jeremiah. Now, this commission was not to you, it was not to me, it was not to anyone of New Testament times, it's not to anyone else who will live in our own times. It was given to one man and one man only, and that person was Jeremiah. But this Jeremiah here has a message for each one of us. He couched it in language, as I said before, dealing with 600 years before Christ. But when you look at the extension of the prophecies as they relate to the future, and how Babylon was to become the central power of all of the world, a type of Babylonian society, both religious, political, and in every other way, we find that Jeremiah here was called by God to introduce that new age, this new Babylonian period, which had never seen in existence before. But now with Jeremiah, along with Ezekiel and Daniel, were to come on the scene and to prophesy of this new type of civilization was that was to develop in the 600 years just before the time of Christ. That is why he is called an axial prophet. Let's look here at this introduction here, where he is given his commission. It starts out by saying, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah." Now, Hilkiah was a priest. He was one of the high priests of ancient Judah. This means that Jeremiah himself, being his son, was, of course, a priest. He was a priest of Aaron. He was capable of going inside the temple and sacrificing. if he would have been the high priest at the time, which he was not. But if he would have been, he would have been able to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. What we do find from Jeremiah, however, is that he came from a very distinguished family amongst the priests there in the Jerusalem area. He was actually born, as it says here in the first verse, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Anathoth is a small village about 3 miles north and east of Jerusalem. I can see it in my mind's eye at the present time, and even the Arabic name of the little village is exactly the same as it was in the time of Jeremiah. It's called Anathoth to this very day. Now, he came to Jeremiah, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to him in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." And it goes on to say, he also prophesied in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity, the carrying away, rather, of the Jerusalem captive in the fifth month, the fifth month of the year, which was, of course, the month of Ab. Now, in the summertime, what this shows here is that he prophesied for 40 years. The 11th year of Zedekiah, which was the last year of the kingdom of Judah, was also the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one who conquered the city of Jerusalem and the Babylonian forces. They destroyed Jerusalem down to bedrock. They also destroyed the holy temple that had been built by Solomon. Nothing was left of that area at all. It was in utter and complete desolation. And that's exactly what Jeremiah prophesied in the 40 years of his prophesying would happen in that area. No one believed him at the time, but nevertheless it happened, and it happened exactly as Jeremiah said it would. Now that is the period of time in which he prophesied. Now let's get to his commission, because this is most important. This commission reaches out even to include prophetic events to be established on the horizon to us, just in our day today. Of course, it had a significance back there at that time, too. Let's look at verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord, that is Yahweh, came unto me," this is Jeremiah, "saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." It's most important that we realize his prophetic stance that he had. It wasn't only to embrace Israel or Judah. He was a prophet to the nations of the world, all of them. And we're going to find that in Jeremiah 25, where he actually rehearses the nations to whom he had been sent by God to prophesy. These nations had an existence 600 years before the birth of Christ. These same nations, or shall I say their descendants, have an existence today in the last part of the 20th century, and in another year's time, into the 2 years' time, into the 21st century, and into the second and third millennium. These people are still on earth today, and we find that Jeremiah and his prophecies are as relevant today as they were back at the time when he prophesied. We're going to see that. Again, that's the reason I'm titling these lectures on Jeremiah, the prophet of modern times. It goes on to say, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said Ah," that is, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Now this is when he was called, now though he was called before his birth, this is when he was told that he was called. And he was 17 years of age. This is in the 13th year of Josiah, king of Judah. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you shall you speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord." In fact, if you'll read the last part of this in verse 19, I think I'll just read that right now. "They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, Jeremiah, for I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you." And you know, throughout all his life, he had great persecutions. He had great difficulties. He even thought at times that God had forsaken him and forgotten him. But he came back, God soon did, and showed Jeremiah that he was with him. And Jeremiah, as far as we know, died a peaceful death. He did not die by any kind of Gentile forces against him in any way. But he had great trials and tribulations. But God said to him, "They shall fight against you, but they're not going to prevail against you. I am in charge of you." And these prophecies of Jeremiah that refer to our time today, they are going to happen. And it makes no difference if you are the ones that refer to you, I mean listening to me, refer to these prophecies of Jeremiah, or if I refer to them or whatever. They are going out no matter what the people of this world will say, because God is behind them and he's going to back them up. So he says, "The Lord said unto me, say not I am a child," verse 7, "for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand. He touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down." Notice the fourfold commission. To all the nations of the world in existence at that time. What a prophetic authority he was given. When you think about it, it was awesome. Because God was saying to him, I'm going to set you over every nation there is on earth. And what is going to happen to every nation on earth? They are going to be rooted out, they're going to be pulled down, they're going to be destroyed, and they're going to be thrown down. Now, that was the first part, the A part of Jeremiah's commission, but there's a B part. There's a secondary part. That secondary part is as important as the first. And what is that secondary part? Read it here in verse 10. You're also to build and to plant. Tear down, throw down, destroy, but build and plant. Jeremiah was an axial prophet. One type of civilization was to come to an end, and the nations of old that many of you read about in the Bible ceased to exist at the time of Jeremiah. But after the time of Jeremiah, new nations began to develop that older people, like in the time of David, knew nothing about, or Abraham, or Moses, or the rest of them in the earlier period. Many nations that you read about in the Bible just seem to disappear. And when do they disappear? In the time of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was a responsible prophet. He was the one to go to those very nations and to tell them that you are going to be destroyed, and your whole civilization, your whole political existence, your societies, and all of that are going to be completely disturbed, and you're going to be left defunct. You are going to be left without an existence. And in your place is going to come forth other nations, which I will ordain. This is what Jeremiah is saying. Now, along with the prophet Ezekiel and Daniel, you're going to find that these three prophets, but particularly with Jeremiah here, he was the leader of all of them. He was the head of all of them. He prophesied ahead of them. 1 year, or several years, in fact, before Daniel, and several years before Ezekiel. But they represented kind of a threesome, if you want to put it that way, with Jeremiah being the dominating one in all of this. He was a prophet to root out the old nations of the world, to pull them down, to destroy them, and to absolutely make them desolate. But he was also to build and to plant other nations. After Jeremiah come along nations that had never been heard of before, the nation of Persia, the nation of Greece, finally, the Empire of Rome, and later nations that came up, of which you and I know about today, such as the British Empire, the United States of America, Germany, Japan, and others of that nature that you and I are familiar with today. Those nations, the nations we know of today, were not known of prior to the time of Jeremiah. Now, it's true that we are descendants from those earlier peoples, but the society came to an end with Jeremiah. That is why he is called the ancient society, I mean. That's why he is called the axial prophet. And even modern scholars recognize him as such. This was a period of flux, of flaccid conditions occurring in the world. when one civilization, world civilization, was to go down into a demise and another one was to arise. The one that was to arise, let me prompt it by saying exactly right now what was to arise in the place of the former civilization. What was to arise was a new civilization with the name of Babylon. Babylon. Within Babylon would be Judah and Israel and other Gentile nations. And they would continue to exist until the second coming of Christ Jesus back to this earth. And then another kingdom would come on earth known as the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of on that in Daniel in just a few moments, because remember that the two prophets were contemporaneous with one another, and they supported each other in their prophecies, and they knew of each other very much, very well. But here is Jeremiah being given his commission, and it's a commission of power and of authority. My, if you were given such a commission like this, it would be awesome, really. Or any of us. Now, I haven't been given any commission of this nature. I don't know of anybody else on earth today who has. But there is an Elijah to come, and he will be a priest as well. And he's going to have such a commission. But here we have Jeremiah, a priest, at 17 years of age, but called before his birth, you see. Jeremiah didn't know it, but he was. And he was selected and sanctified back at that time, just like the Apostle Paul was, and several others. And like you and I, all of us, do you know how we have a history that goes back, we know now, before the foundation of the world, that God knew of you and knew of me, and I mean you personally, and of your ancestors and of your children that you have, knew of them personally before the foundation of this world. Now, we know that much, but Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was actually born onto this earth, but he was not given that knowledge until he was about 17 years of age. And then he said, I'm a child. God says, don't you say you're a child. I will put my words into your mouth. And he touched his lips. And when he touched his lips, Jeremiah all of a sudden became a man. He became the type of man that God could use. And God was going to use his mouth to be able to tear down whole nations, civilizations of the past. Nations that you read in the Bible about, which after this time you never read of them again. How many of you have ever heard of the nation of Elam? In the earlier prophecies, Elam was a very famous nation, and others. And the old Phoenician nations, you know, the Tyrian nations, and so forth and so on, they were earlier, much earlier. The nations of Troy and all of that in earlier times. And in our time, however, we read of their descendants, but we don't read of those nations still in existence. They came to an end in the time of Jeremiah, about 600 years before the birth of Christ. And a new type of civilization developed at that time, known as the Babylonian civilization, in which all the nations of earth come under its umbrella. And who was the first king of this new civilization under Gentile suzerainty that was to continue until the kingdom of God would come on this earth? It was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And we're going to see how Jeremiah mentions that in just a few moments, and how he was backed up by Ezekiel, and particularly by Daniel. And all three of them came in a harmonious way to explain what was going to occur in the next generations succeeding the fall of Judah and the Davidic dynasty about 600 years before the birth of Christ. So he says in verse 11 here, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. A rod of an almond tree. That is most important that most people just pass right over. Do you know the rod of Aaron? The rod of Aaron that he used for his authority back there in the time of Moses was made out of an almond branch. Do you know that in the Holy of Holies, that the menorah itself of the candlesticks represented an almond tree and made out of almond wood? The almond is the earliest of the trees to bloom in Palestine. It's also the latest of the trees to put forth its fruit. The almond is a symbol of the tree of life. And here he sees an almond tree in bloom. What he means, what God is showing, new life is coming forth here. A new civilization is soon to develop. You're going to be a part of it, Jeremiah. He went on to say, "And the word of the Lord came to him a second time, saying, 'What do you see?' He said, 'I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north.' The Lord said unto me, 'Out of the north shall come forth evil. It shall bring forth upon the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness.'" And it goes on to say that all of the nations finally are going to fall because of this prophecy that is given to this prophet here called Jeremiah. It's like an almond tree blooming. A new civilization is coming on the scene. And Jeremiah is the one who is responsible to tell the early nations of the world that God had raised up that they are going into a demise, into a death. And a brand new system is going to develop coming out of the north. That system, as we read in chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Jeremiah, and going all the way to the end, chapter 50, 51, and 52, is the kingdom of Babylon. And the first head is going to be Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He is going to be the one with his armies to destroy the city of Jerusalem, the temple that Solomon built, and he is going to take the Jews into a captivity out of their own land, and it's going to last for 70 years. All of this you are going to find in this prophecy here of Jeremiah. And that starts the prophecy. That starts the destruction. The building and the planning, however, we want to get to a little bit later on, because it's as important as the destruction. You know, God says, "I cannot build something that I want to build until I tear down the other that I want torn down." The prophet that was brought up at this crucial time in history, along with two others, Ezekiel and Daniel, was this prophet Jeremiah at 17 years of age, given a commission that was awesome. The axial prophet, Jeremiah. God is the highest, and Jeremiah says, "I'm carrying out his commission." Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B section of this lecture.